Coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share down 1.3%. As you can see there, pressure being exerted across the board today. Resources 10 component falling back 1.4%. Financial 15, 1.75% lower, while the Industrial 25 is trading 1.3% in negative territory. Well, let's get straight into a broader look at today's markets activity. Now joining me for that, Warren Jeffrey from Nedbank Private Wealth. Thanks so much, Warren, for joining me in studio this evening. So we've had some commentary emerge out of Morgan Stanley saying that both from a bottom-up and top-down perspective, equity market valuations appear far too ambitious, with business cycles in a downturn and both forward-looking indicators such as global PMIs and global growth now in contraction territory. What's your view?
So I think there is definitely an element of, you know, overvaluation in the markets. I think what one of us has to do, though, is look at it relatively speaking. And I mean, we started to see interest rates on the rise last year. That was putting pressure on equity markets. And we've done almost a full about turn, particularly in the US, on those interest rate cycles, with rates going from everyone expecting cuts in the start of the year to now, you know, quite aggressive cuts coming to the market. As those interest rates go lower, the alternative is to go into equity, go into property, look for other asset classes where you can get some sort of return. So I think equity valuations are high. The challenge that you've got is where else are you going to put your money? And, you know, once interest rates go to zero or below, it becomes a difficult question. And I think a lot of investors and investment houses are facing that question right now.
Absolutely. It's in fact a conversation we had just yesterday highlighting the prospect of alternative investments. I mean, is that something that's piquing your interest at this stage, you know, delving into the private equity realm or even hedge funds for that matter?
So look, I think, you know, whenever opportunity for returns becomes stretched, or, you know, it's not as easy to find those returns, I think obviously everyone opens up their horizons of what they're willing to invest in. I think for us, you know, the concern or the focus needs to be on a risk-adjusted return. You know, there's a lot of potentially fantastic returns out there, but you need to adjust how much risk you're taking to get those. So some of them are very attractive. I think, you know, even some of the private equity guys we've spoken to, you know, if you look at SA Inc., the SA companies, the small and mid-cap space, some of them are trading on PE valuations, which you'd normally go to private equity to get to. So, you know, you can buy on the market very similar price to what you can actually buy in private equity spaces. So on that basis, I think there's opportunity in both regions. I think part of it depends on your time frame. You know, if you are willing to play the long game, you're willing to stay in the investment, and you don't have a near-term liquidity need, there's some great opportunities in the market, just the same as if you were going into private equity space. You know, that's not the space you go to when you're looking for a 2-3 week return on your money.
Absolutely, especially in a waning global growth environment where investments are primarily made in these startup businesses, and a success in that sphere very difficult to actually reap. In the meantime, do we start seeing the impact of trade conflict already? Because we've started to see a lot of the listed companies globally cutting their 2019 profit forecasts already, and that's the reason being cited.
Look, so I think there's probably two sides to that. I think, you know, pretty much with the turmoil we're seeing around the world, that's not helping anyone's longer term business plans, and it's very difficult to push forward when there's indecision. So when you're facing trade, you know, tariff conflicts around the world, and it's whether it's between China and the US is the main one, but obviously there's others. On the back of that environment, it becomes very difficult to make firm decisions, because you're not sure how your strategies are going to be impacted. And what you tend to find is a lot of the world starts sitting on their hands. They stop investing cash. They stop buying inventory. They wait to see what the outcome is. And unfortunately, when the world is waiting to see what's going to happen, no one's being productive. And that starts putting pressure on everyone's forecasts and everyone's earnings going forward.
Absolutely. But the skittishness, of course, no big surprise. If you're looking at something like an input cost of oil, for example, it's already very volatile. Oil prices were today alone slightly softer as concerns about whether slowing global growth would hit demand eclipsed some of the tensions over Iran's nuclear program, but then rising above $64 a barrel as the trading session progressed, as OPEC supply cuts and Middle East tensions outweighed once again. So markets seem to be in a pretty fickle state right now, with no new catalyst really emerging.
No, I think that's exactly, you know, to the point. Is at the moment, investors are looking for a reason to trade and a reason to move. And, you know, with any investment, and, you know, particularly on your commodity space, there's two sides to it. There's a supply side and a demand side. And if you're not getting the right motivation from the demand side, you can look at what constraints there are on the supply side to push it around. And unfortunately, we're seeing, you know, a lot of toing and froing and jostling for position. And as that's happening, you know, investors are kind of seeing a lot of volatility coming through in the markets. And I'd say it's almost exaggerated, because we've seen this turnaround in what the US Fed is doing in terms of their approach and looking to cut interest rates. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of the commodities and assets that we're looking to trade are priced in US dollars. And as that dollar price is actually bouncing around just on pure currency strength or weakness, that's adding additional volatility to the scene.
Absolutely. On that note, I've got to ask you your view on Murray & Roberts, because its share price moved higher today, and that after Bloomberg reported an analyst at Renaissance Capital having upgraded the stock from hold to buy. Yeah. Are you convinced in a play like that? I know that this is a company that's been at pains, to divorce itself from the construction space entirely. Is it something that you would delve into?
So, look, I mean, it's not a counter that I'm particularly close to. I think it is a contrarian play right now. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there is a lot of opportunity in the market. There is, you know, a lot of sectors which have been shunned and potentially have been shunned too far. So I wouldn't say that there's no value there. There may be a good opportunity. I think the question is more about the timing. You know, you might dive into it now and you might wait 18 months, 3 years before you start to see that really play out. But unfortunately, that's the environment we're in.
Okay, so what's convincing you more so and, actually gauging your interest? Yeah. What's your stock pick?
So choosing a stock pick at the moment, I like Mondi. I think Mondi PLC at the moment, you know, it's a global player, strong dividend, almost 4% dividend yield. It's got, you know, trading on a P of around 10 times. As I say, global diversification in terms of that income stream. What used to be quite a cyclical business is becoming more and more non-cyclical. You know, the more e-tailing sales we see, the more packaging is getting used, fantastic application and use of your industrial bags. So I think the spread of their business, the access to pulp, the access to, you know, actual woodland that they can actually use and to plantations, I think all of that stacks it up pretty well. To have the chance to buy it at a relatively cheap price right now, for me, that's probably a long-term safe bet.
Okay, so Mondi on your radar screen. Let's leave it there, Warren. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Warren Jeffrey is with Nedbank Private Wealth. What's your stock pick?
So choosing a stock pick at the moment, I like Mondi. I think Mondi PLC at the moment, you know, it's a global player, strong dividend, almost 4% dividend yield. It's got, you know, trading on a P of around 10 times. As I say, global diversification in terms of that income stream. What used to be quite a cyclical business is becoming more and more non-cyclical. You know, the more e-tailing sales we see, the more packaging is getting used, fantastic application and use of your industrial bags. So I think the spread of their business, the access to pulp, the access to, you know, actual woodland that they can actually use and to plantations, I think all of that stacks it up pretty well. To have the chance to buy it at a relatively cheap price right now, for me, that's probably a long-term safe bet.
Okay, so Mondi on your radar screen. Let's leave it there, Warren. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Warren Jeffrey is with Nedbank Private Wealth.